Well, hey there. My name is Jason Kaliba, and you're listening to The Real Podcast. For more than 20 years now, I've been a pastor. One of the best parts about being a pastor is serving and getting to know people. People are interesting, fascinating, actually. The more you get to know someone, the more you hear their story, the more interested and inspired you usually become. So I got this idea to start a podcast where I could sit down with some of those people so that other people, like you, could get to know them too. And that's what you get on my podcast, the stories and insights of real people that, I hope, will challenge you and inspire you to grow. This is The Real Podcast. Thanks for listening. Okay, here we go. All human beings have curious and unique ways that we respond to the people around us and the situations that we encounter in life. And sometimes we're aware and conscious of why we act like we do, how we handle stress, and we're aware of our personalities and our triggers. Sometimes we're just not. That includes people of faith. That includes people from all backgrounds. And as a pastor, one of the important pieces of ministry or work that we need to do, at least I think, is help people get under the surface to deal with the root issues in their life and help them have a clear understanding of what has contributed to their development as people and what has contributed to their shadow side. And there's lots of different ways to do that. And of course, we're familiar with all kinds of ways that people try to get beneath the surface, whether that's going to see a counselor, just having a coffee with a friend, participating in a group program or a 12-step program. And in my context, at Cochrane Alliance Church, one of the ways that we've sought to help people get to some of those root issues in their life and get better self-awareness and indeed let God do some work in their life is through a program called Freedom Session. And over the past few years, I've talked to dozens of friends and acquaintances as they've navigated this process and found that they have some pretty neat stories of what they've discovered and what God has done to bring awareness and healing and restoration of relationships through navigating the process. So I thought it would be interesting to talk to a few people who are involved with Freedom Session in our church, have navigated the process themselves maybe more than once, and are even giving leadership. And so it's my privilege today to welcome into the virtual real studio two friends of mine, Ken Friesen and Yolanda Bosma. Welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
Although I know you both pretty well, not all of the worldwide real audience is necessarily aware of who you both are. So, Ken, why don't you just give us a little background on who you are and where you find yourself today?
Sure. I'm a 50-something guy. I've been in Cochrane for a while, and I've been attending Cochrane Alliance for about 30 years, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And husband, father of two, and grandfather of five, and I'm really rocking the grandfather. I'm the cool grandfather.
Oh, I see.
And it's a lot of fun.
Is there a not cool grandfather in your family circle as well? No comment. That's good.
No comment. I speak English and smile, which maybe is not what I'm used to from grandparents.
Yolanda, who are you?
I'm Yolanda Bosma, and my husband and I have been attending Cochrane Alliance for about 25 years, and we've lived in Cochrane for 30 years. I know there's lots of people out there who that's kind of like my claim to fame. I've been here that long. been active in a variety of different ministries within the church, the latest being Freedom Session. I've got three grown children and one 7-year-old granddaughter. And yeah, we own our own company here in town, and we've been at that for like almost 25 years as well.
Cool. So the name Freedom Session, it sounds a little strange. Yolanda, if someone were to walk off the street and say, what in the world is Freedom Session, what would you say?
I would tell them that it's a 20-week course that is modeled around a 12-step program that will help them walk through issues in their life that are holding them captive. And typically, I think that when we think of 12-step programs, we think of addictions. So we just think of alcohol and drugs and pornography and gambling and all of those things that we could just name and say, well, I don't have those issues.
Sure.
But what about things like being distant, being a worrywart, being a perfectionist, being a workaholic, avoiding life? All of those are symptoms of problems. And all of those are symptoms of things that have happened to us over life. None of us were born that way. Mm. And Freedom Session is a way to walk through those and get to the root of why you behave a particular way. Why do you act a certain way? Why do you blow up when somebody does something? Why do you always go off the deep end when there's pain or hurt? Why do you head to the closet for food? Freedom Session helps you find the roots of those things. And through a process of work and spending time with Jesus, it helps to get you past those issues.
Hmm. Now, I know you both believe in this thing because you've been part of it for a number of times. But Ken, when you first signed up, did you have something in mind that you wanted to address, or you just did it as a general development?
Oh, absolutely did. So this really didn't look like my thing at all, right? So being like classic man over a half a century old, it's like, I don't have feelings, so how can they bother me, right? So the whole idea of looking at those made me kind of uncomfortable. Certainly looking at my past, right? You know, the cliche belief that people spend too much time looking at their past and they never get better, and it, right? So mm-hmm. I had those kind of reservations. So it really took a lot. It took basically a crisis of my mental health, that I was kind of struggling with depression. I wasn't handling it very well. Things became unmanageable. It was affecting my marriage, my relationships, and my job. And so I said, well, you know, I really have to do something about this, and I'm kind of open to kind of taking the plunge. Yeah. So that was my motivation. And that's exactly what I got out of it, was a resolution to those issues.
Okay.
And in terms of life management as well. So it's healing and discipleship is the focus of the program. So the healing is looking at the root causes, as Yolanda alluded to earlier, but the discipleship is having the tools to walk with Jesus every day. Right. And so when these things come at you again, you have a tool set now you take with you.
Do you remember your feelings the first time you got in the room the first time, and what was going through your head as you were looking around at the other people that you were maybe going to have to talk turkey with? What was your feeling the first time?
Gee, well, I liked Ken talking about things, but he was kind of, I was still thinking of this homework, because that's the other thing that kind of put me off. People say you had to do a lot of work. You know, you had to, not only was it, you know, hours a week of doing this homework, but the homework was not of the easy, just fill in the blank kind. It was like introspective. And so I was thinking like, what kind of work are we going to have to do? And that kind of distracted me.
So Ken has been mentioning someone else called Ken. Yolanda, who is this other Ken of which Ken speaks?
Ken is Ken Dick. And he and his wife, Bonnie, actually wrote Freedom Session. And Freedom Session was born out of a problem that they had in their church, in that they provided counseling there. But there was just this huge, huge wait list for people to get counseling. And so as a way to combat that, as one of the pastors, he was asked, can you write something that we could go through as a program? Now, it has been revamped over some of the years, but really it was born out of people needing counseling and what could they do to help. And so Ken is actually one of the pastors of Village Church in Vancouver.
Yolanda, do you remember going back to the first time that you went through it yourself? Can you remember the first time that you encountered something where, whether it was the material or the video, that you went, oh, shoot, they just pointed the finger at me, like, this is my issue here, and you realize you're going to have to drill down? Or is it all a big wash for you?
Well, the first time was a little bit different for me because I was a facilitator and a participant at the same time. And I far better like being just a facilitator simply because I know the end game. And so leading people in a way where you didn't know where you were going was really kind of difficult. However, it was really in week two.
What were you talking about in week two?
In week two, we talk about denial. And I think that that's one of my favorite weeks. And I think it's one of my favorite simply because it catches everybody off guard. Because the things that he mentions that as denial, I don't think that there's a single person in the room that can go, oh yeah, no, I don't have any of those. I had no idea that minimizing, when I looked at some of the pain that happened to me really in my early marriage years, that I just minimized them. Oh, whatever. You know what? I'll just apologize. We'll be done with it. We'll forget about it. We'll just move on. I didn't realize how harmful that was. Here I thought I was being this great person who was not holding something against my partner by just saying, whatever, let's just make up, we'll be done with it, let's not cause any problems, let's not make any waves. When in fact, I was minimizing the hurt that was happening to me. And just a number of different ways, playing a victim, doing things of, you know, it's somebody else's fault that it's like this. And week two, that was it. It was like, oh crap, here we are.
Ken, what do we expect when a person shows up here? Like, I know from the movies, I actually have never been to an AA meeting myself, but I know, you know, the introduction and the sharing of stories. What do you actually do here? Or do you get into a quiet room and meditate? What does this look like practically?
I can answer three questions. This is for the editing. So just to add to what Yolanda said in the last one, that was also my, you know, finger pointed at me moment, the denial. And what it was for me, though, was minimizing what I do to others. So I was giving myself a free pass in a lot of ways. And, you know, I've been hurt, but I've never hurt anyone else. So that was my starting to realize that, oh, you know, really, I'm causing problems for other individuals, you know, and these are causing relationship issues. So that was kind of the same thing for me. Okay, so in terms of what you do, so just to contrast maybe with traditional, start with that, traditional 12-step programs. So a couple of things out of the traditional is one is it's recovery is the focus. So you usually have some kind of compulsive behavior that's very destructive, you know, addiction to something. And the recovery program is all about kind of getting that under control, right? So that's one thing. And whereas Freedom Session is about the healing and discipleship. So as Yolanda alluded to earlier, it's really about getting into the, why am I doing this? Not just stopping the addiction, but what is causing this? What happened in my life, perhaps? What attitudes do I have? What does God need to work with me on so that I don't have that desire to do that anymore, right? And it's replaced with something else. The other thing about a traditional 12-step is they say, ultimately, you have to give this over to a higher power, whatever that is for you. And the finger quotes don't go too well with the radio, but But here in Freedom Session, they're saying, well, the higher power is Jesus Christ, right? There is no higher power. And he's going to walk with you for this healing and the discipleship part. So you're going to be left with something, right, to walk the rest of your days with. So that being the focus of the program, you're not going to start there and stand up and say, you know, hi, I'm Ken and I'm an alcoholic, because you're not identified. You're not identified by your failings or your sins. You're identified as a child of Christ, mm-hmm. and he's going to give you your identity. So that's a different focus. And it's not bad to go through recovery, but this isn't the focus of this particular thing, right? Okay, so when we get there, usually 45 minutes or so to an hour of him going through kind of the counseling, right? And it's a tape of him giving it to another church group or another group okay. that he's doing. So it's like you're there, right? It's like a live presentation.
Yep.
And after that, you go into small groups. You break up into small groups, usually several of each gender, separate. And there you talk about the homework that you did last week. So plot spoiler, there's homework. And you kind of go over that homework and you share with each other, right? And that's basically most of the evenings go like that of the 20 weeks. There's a few special events like going to people's houses and sharing, you know, on certain topics. And then you're also spending some time with your sponsor. So there's another person you get involved in this, and when you kind of have some homework of doing some deep stuff, you don't necessarily do all of it with your small group. You do it with the sponsor, who's someone that can kind of mentor you for the next little while during Freedom Session.
So Yolanda, when you think about coming to group on a weekly basis and you're looking ahead to what's going to happen over an evening, what is it that you look forward to and what is it that you dread when you think about gathering with your group of people?
I think the thing that I always look forward to is there's always some really unique nuggets of information in each evening. Yeah, different weeks have their different focus. And when the women in my group have an aha moment of, oh my goodness, I never thought of that. I never imagined that that was a problem. Mm. I didn't realize I did this. Oh my goodness, I do that. How have I not seen this before? Those are the moments I love, mm-hmm. because to me, those are God moments. Those are ones where, you know, Jesus is jumping out of Ken's voice on the videotape and touching people's hearts, and they're convicted by something that is going to make a change. I think the things that I dread are when people aren't willing to give it their all. And we've definitely had, sometimes it's only a week or two, and sometimes it has to do with that this is a really difficult week for somebody. Mm-hmm. Everybody is coming with something different. And so some weeks can be very difficult for people. We have one week in particular where we talk about conception, and we've actually had people leave after the video because they're so overcome with emotion that they couldn't possibly share. Mm. Because it delves really deep into things. And those are some of the things that are difficult, because there's pain underneath that. And it's sad to see people living with that pain. And sometimes it takes a number of weeks before people are willing to go, okay, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. I'm all in. I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to finish this. I'm not going to quit. But there are some weeks where people are like, meh, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And those are the ones that I dread, because I know how rich the program is.
As you watch where common areas where people get stuck and they just can't seem to move beyond that, what are the issues that grind the process to a halt and prevent us from moving on to freedom?
A couple things. Ken and I were just talking, and one of the things that he mentioned is grand, is that some people come because they feel like they have a family member who has a problem. And so they're going to attend because they want to learn what they can so that they can help this other person. Mm-hmm. And it's like the wrong motives. You can help that other person by changing who you are. and changing things in your life. So I think that that's one way of getting stuck. Another one is that in the program, we get to a place where we have to write down how we've hurt people. Now it's easy, painful, but easier to write down how people have hurt me because I'm the victim and I'm happy to pour out my heart as to what all happened to me. Oh man, but when you have to face how somebody has hurt you, or how you have hurt somebody else, I'm sorry, that's a whole different ballgame. And sadly, we have had people that have made it that far and then not returned. It's because that was just too difficult to go through. And it was easier to be a victim than to face what is going on afterwards. Yeah.
Well, let me maybe Ken jump on that. So that's talking about us causing hurt in others. I know that a lot of good stuff that comes out of Freedom Session is helping people navigate forgiveness issues, whether that's asking for forgiveness or offering forgiveness to those who've hurt us. I know Christians are idealists sometimes, and we talk about how the power of God really does clear the slate. But in your opinion, do you really think that forgiveness does do that, and that you can really forgive people and move on from the hurt that's been done to you? Or is that overly idealistic?
Yeah, I believe that. Now, I was lucky enough to take it as a participant and then a facilitator. And each time you take it as a small group facilitator, you do the homework and you do everything all over again. And it really took me those two tries to get to the point where I truly forgave everyone on my list, including me. But that became, it was worth kind of doing because it really became freeing, right? And it became a bit habit forming too, which surprised me. So I had one extended family member that, really was in a lot of entries in my inventory, a lot of issues to deal with. Yeah. And I hadn't seen them in a while. And so, kind of forgave them for everything that happened for many years. And then I saw them again at Christmas and they just, you know, carried on as though nothing had changed and it just laid up a whole, and so it became, you know, what do I do about this? Do I get nasty back? Do I maybe kind of, you know, push them away and just, this is the end of the relationship. You know, I'm going to be in the same room with you, but I'm not engaging with you anymore, which would have been my tendency in the past. But it was really mentally right away doing the inventory of saying, okay, all right, let's deal with this, right? Afterwards, anyway, it was what maybe caused this to happen? How is this making me feel? And then going through the forgiveness again, right? So that meant that the end of it wasn't that the relationship was dead, in that I was trying to understand where they were coming from and we were still engaging, right? And as far as I was concerned, there was no burden or barrier between us, right? Lurking, because I had forgiven them again. It's just way Jesus said, like 70 times seven, right? Starts to get difficult, but in a way it becomes habit forming as well. So
okay, well, maybe I'd love to probe into the, because you talked earlier about the deal with this is not just working through hurt, but also some tools that help us when we face certain things again, that we know what to do, like we're trained, so to speak, on how to deal with that. So talk to me particularly on that issue of forgiveness, because all of us have those people, often family is what draws it out, that seem to poke at something that brings out the worst in us. So can you, let's say I'm that uncle that just always seems to make the comment, tell the story again, that's really embarrassing or angers you or hurtful to you, and you know it's going to happen. What's the toolkit that you've got now on how to respond? Like, walk me through your thought and action process as you navigate me as your uncle.
Well, again, it was just taking them where they are and not bringing all kinds of baggage of unforgiveness into the discussion, right? So,
okay.
So you're starting fresh each time you're talking with them. Not that you trust them or leave yourself open, right? You're reminded that, okay, a little bit wary, but not superior and not, right, throwing up barriers to discussion. and just try to kind of, again, the reason I'm not closing off the relationship is because I really love this person and want to help them, right? Their family. Mm. So it's kind of digging into why they're thinking that way. And so again, after the discussion, it's like, Lord, open my eyes, what's going on? And I can pray for them. Right. And then kind of maybe think about other ways that I can reach out to them. Right. Maybe preemptively. Mm.
Can I speak to some of this forgiveness too, Jason?
Sure.
When I think about like the questions you asked about, you know, does forgiveness really work? Does it really clean the slate? One of the things that Ken talks about is that when we forgive people, that doesn't mean that we're saying that what has happened to us at their hand is okay. Mm. If somebody has been sexually abused or physically abused as a child, forgiving your abuser doesn't mean that you should trust them again. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you need to have Sunday dinner with them. And you probably shouldn't. But it's a way of moving past what it is about that is controlling you and that is controlling your life and controlling how it is that you see yourself. And so I think that that's a big thing that people need to know about forgiveness is that God doesn't ask us to say that the stuff that happened to us was all right. And we have also found over the years, this season will be our fourth year coming into it, is that there's a lot of things that have happened. You know, I think about my own story. There were people that I forgave and it was not a problem. But I know other people, other women who have been in various groups who have suffered some real childhood trauma. And it took them a number of years to go through it. And so walking through Freedom Session the first time, kind of got through the first layer of that. I think that those kind of types of abuse are layered. And so when you can look at some of it, you can forgive for that. But as this person continued to walk, I remember them saying to me, Yolanda, what's the matter? I thought I forgave my family for whatever it is that happened. Mm-hmm. And she found that different things started to come up, that she forgave this action. And then she forgave this, and then she forgave that. But now she's at a place where it's done. Mm. And so I think that that is something that we've learned over the few years, is that deep trauma doesn't always get solved in 2 weeks of praying for forgiveness, but that it's a step towards complete healing.
Yeah, start of a process. That's well worth it.
Absolutely.
Mm. No, that's great. Thank you. I know as Christians, we like to say that Jesus makes a difference to these processes, to our healing, to our freedom. But sometimes it just sounds like, yeah, of course, that's what religious people say. How does he actually make a difference? How do you see the person of Jesus actually doing something tangible in your life or in the lives of these people that you're serving as they navigate the process?
Sure. I'd love to answer that one. So when you do your homework and it's really kind of digging deep, some things kind of fly off the page and you can kind of write them down. And some things are tough. You think, I have no idea how to answer this one. Right. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you're saying, you stop and you say, God, what do you want to reveal to me now? What do you want me to deal with? Right. And so I was doing the inventory part where there's different ways to do it. And one of them is trying to explain your current behavior, some of your negative behaviors in terms of what happened to you in the past, maybe some hurts and so on. And so I was stuck on why I kind of fly off the handle when I'm feeling rejected or judged. Right. And so I was praying about that and God helped me see why that was, right? And that was great. So that was like kind of a breakthrough. But then after Freedom Session, Jesus was still walking with me because soon after that, I lost my job. I got laid off. And then there was a 13-month period of looking for work. Now, anyone that's been through that experience knows that's a lot of rejection. So first of all, losing your original job, right? Yeah. And then it's several rejections a day sometimes. And sometimes you're going through a process of, you know, half a dozen interviews. And at the end they say, no, you're not the person. We chose the other person. And so in the past, that would have killed me. I mean, that would have just put me in a terrible depression and not able to function and not able to kind of relate to anyone else. But during that over a little over a year long process, Jesus was walking with me every day, you know, and I was just taking from Freedom Session that the only person that says that is able to talk about and is authorized to talk about my self-worth is Jesus, right? That's where I'm getting my self-worth from. Yep. And I was able to tolerate all of this kind of rejection and still have a reasonably positive attitude to keep looking until, you know, this, now I landed an absolutely fantastic job. It's the best one I've ever had. Mm. And I never would have found it, right? And some of the ones that I was really kicking myself for not getting or what went wrong would have been a terrible fit for me. So it's really, you know, God has a plan, has the best interest. And a lot of times we have to go through a process with him and just keep walking. And it sometimes it takes a while. Mm-hmm. So that's beyond just platitudes or anything else. It's I'm a disciple and Christ is walking with me and helping me to grow.
So some people would say Jesus is just a code word, Ken, for your own inner strength that you found yourself within yourself to navigate this stuff. And you're saying, no, this is quite apart from me.
Based on the first 50 something years of my life, that was not the way I behaved. tendency towards depression was my issue.
Yeah. And I would agree with what Ken had said too. When I think about doing some of my homework, there was a particular behavior that I had as well that I was like, I have no idea why I do this. It just makes no sense to me. And I remember Ken in his video saying, you know what, if you're stuck like this, you just really need to like really ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, where did this come from? Well, I wasn't even done my prayer. And this memory popped into my head that I had completely forgotten. And that sounds ridiculous because when I think of what actually happened, I'm like, how could I have forgotten that?
Yep.
And yet there it was, plain as day. And now just this past year in my third year, I don't have a lot of, you know, a lot of people have childhood trauma and I don't know. I just never really had lots that I could think of, but I kept feeling God prompting me that I needed to look at comparing. Why did I have this trouble with comparing? That I needed to look at what everybody else had. And I just never really quite measured up. What was wrong with that? Why do I feel that that is the case? And in this past year of Freedom Session, I have had like when we did it in September.
Yeah.
The number of memories I have as a little girl that came up this past year of me being compared. Things that might not mean a whole lot to anybody, but being a child in school and going out, I attended Calgary Christian School, and being lined up for recess to go outside from tallest to shortest. And you can imagine where I ended up. I was always at the end, always doing Canada fitness testing. Well, here I was, this little pipsqueak who was too young for her grade because I started, you know, like months before anybody else did. Just because my mom wanted me out of the house, I guess, after so many kids, it was like time to go. So I was in school early. Well, no wonder I couldn't meet all these other things. You know, here are these boys and, you know, some of the girls are walking away with a platinum thing. And I'm getting bronze simply because I didn't even make the grade in what it was that I could do. And so many things in my life were comparison. I didn't remember any of those. And yet those were all brought to mind as I continue to see where I learned that I'm not enough. And when I think about asking for forgiveness for the things that I've done, you know, we come to a part where we make amends to people. Well, just because I make an amend to you, Jason, doesn't mean that you need to forgive me. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that I'm sorry for what I did and that it was wrong. But you can choose to continue to harbor anger against me. But I know that when I ask God to forgive me for that, that it's gone, that now he sees me as pure because of Jesus' death on the cross, that God hates sin, but because of Jesus' death, he sees me as white as snow.
Oh, thank you both for letting us into the process and the own your own work that you've done. Appreciate that. I know that I and a whole lot of other people we don't necessarily run into situations where we're going to have to disclose. There are maybe a few people who are masochistic and just they want to take the beating. they want to look deep into the darkness, but I'd say I'm fairly common. I'm not necessarily one who wants to delve into getting into those memories or dealing with my shadow side. So convince me, why should I come?
Jason, I think that you should come because I think that that all of us know when there's something wrong. All of us know that there's this thing that we've got, and you can deny it as much as you want. Mm-hmm. But I think that if you've got a problem, whatever that may be, you know it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus came to give us life and give us life to the full. But we're carrying around this thing as a burden, something that he died on the cross for already. So let's get rid of it. Let's look at it. And is it going to be easy? No. But Freedom Session promises that that going through Freedom Session won't cause you any more pain than you are already in. You're already experiencing pain from whatever is going on. Freedom Session won't make it worse.
Okay.
It'll just make you look at it and it'll make you find the root of it. Where did that start? Whatever it is that you happen to be holding on to, you weren't born that way. You weren't born with holding a grudge or with dealing with anger over something, or you weren't born thinking like I just shared about comparing, that I'm not enough, that they don't measure up to anybody else. I wasn't like that as a child, but somehow I learned that. And I want the best of me for my family. I want the best of me for me, and I want the best of me for Jesus. That's why I think you should take Freedom Session.
Okay. That's pretty good work. Ken, I'm generalizing here, of course, but it seems that overall women are a little more ready to take up Yolanda's challenge, and that we dudes go, yeah, that sounds great for some women I know, but that's just not how guys handle our stuff. What would you say about that?
So I had, So as I said earlier, I had a lot of resistance to that, just the whole idea of dealing with past and admitting that I have feelings that are affecting me. Right. And what really scared me into going actually was not having feelings to a great extent. So I got to the point where I was really dead inside and didn't care about anything. And one of the kind of positive things of my personality has always been trying to make a difference, right?
Yeah.
Why I teach Sunday school, why I serve in church, why, you know, I do work with my family and so on. And the type of job that I choose, that I can't just be putting in time. I have to be making the world a better place.
Yeah.
But I got to this place that I was dead inside and didn't care about anything. And I said, that's an indication something is wrong. And I really now have to take the plunge and find out what's going on. And very soon into Freedom Session, Ken in the teaching said that, you know, you can't really suppress just negative emotions. When you suppress your emotions, they all go, even the positive ones, right? Yeah. And so again, working through the issues, I found I had, you know, anger, a lot of anger. And earlier on in my life, I saw that people's reaction to kind of blowing up wasn't good. And so, you know, from the feedback, I said, I should suppress this anger and just kind of bury it deep. And it took decades, but that just ate me out inside, right? And I got to the point where I was dead, totally emotionally across the board. And so that was very freeing to learn that and to say, okay, well, if I want to start feeling kind of normal again and caring about stuff, instead, I need to say, why am I angry now? Instead of pushing it down, right? Lord, teach me why is this making me angry? Why is this person, the situation, and actually deal with it. Forgive when you have to forgive, learn when you have to learn, right? And so I wouldn't have known any of that stuff if I hadn't taken the plunge, right? And that the fact that I was just getting really dead scared me to, I got to do something about this, right? This is not me anymore. This is a damaged person.
Thank you. So I know as we're recording this in fall 2020, there are a few weeks yet before this year's session is going to roll, and included in the episode notes will include some links and information if people want to check out at least how it's happening in Cochrane. If you're not in the Cochrane area, I know especially across Canada, there's quite a few church communities where this happens, and would encourage you to check it out wherever you are. The acronym of the day is COVID-19, and it seems there is no area of society where our societal response to this pandemic is not affected. So as we look ahead, how does COVID affect how Freedom Session might happen in the first time we've done it in Cochrane in a pandemic? What's it going to look like, or is it any different than it was before?
I mean, it is going to be different because we're going to be doing it via Zoom. Mm. So we will still gather together and watch a video. I'll be showing you what's on my computer, which will be the video of the week.
Yeah.
And then we're going to break out into groups. And in Freedom Session, groups are always gender specific. Uh-huh. And currently we have 2 male and 3 female facilitators.
Cool.
We've decided that we wanted to do a little bit smaller groups because of the Zoom experience, that rather than me trying to lead 6 participants, we've decided we'd like to have it with each facilitator to only have 4 people. We felt that that might provide for a little bit of a more intimate experience, as intimate as it can be on the computer. And then there are a couple times that we meet in person. And we will be doing that in people's homes or at the church, probably in the church when I think about it now, so that we can properly social distance if we still need to at that point. And so that's what it's going to look like. The cost is a little lower. It's $60 this year as opposed to $80. And the reason we've done that is because we always add in a little bit because we normally provide snacks and coffee and pop and stuff like that. But now that you're going to be in your own home, you get to supply that yourself.
Okay.
We just went over the Mennonites in the congregation.
Such a deal.
If I'm getting emotional, can I blank out my screen and hide the video so you don't have to see what my facial expression looks
no,
like?
No, you may not, because part of Freedom Session is actually being able to see each other.
Yeah.
And being able to, normally, if you were feeling overly emotional and things were being really tough for you, then as a facilitator, I would look to Kenny, who's now a girl, and say, Kenny, could you please play for Jason? You know, Jason's really struggling right now and we would like to pray for him. And so that's why we would really like to see where your emotion is.
Yeah, of course. Well, judging by the internet quality of our interview tonight, it might just blank out on me and save me from that. Hey, well, I want to thank both of you. Really appreciate the ways you've just let us in a little bit into your own journey. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Real Podcast. For more information on this episode and others, check out our website at cochranealliance.com/real. And if there's something that you've learned or would like to comment on, feel free to drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep it real.